pray as we get into this message today. Father, once again, we look to you and we thank you that this morning your Spirit will minister your words to our hearts. Lord, as I teach this truth on experiencing better days, I thank you that you will cause this truth to come alive in each of our hearts, and the result will be, as we hear your word, as it strengthens us, ministers to us, Lord, we will experience better days. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to continue in our series, Better Days. And in this series, we have simply been presenting you with truths each week, truths that will help you. Now listen, here's the key. Truths that are going to help you experience better days regardless of what any day may bring. I mean, we've had some pretty strange days over the last couple of months. Pretty disrupting times. People have experienced anxiety that they've never experienced before. People have lost loved ones and have not been able to be there. I mean, a lot of things have gone on. Listen, you and I can't control what happens in this world, but we can trust God and we can experience through the truths in the Bible better days. And so today, I just want to present to you a truth that when applied is going to help every one of us experience, come on, better days. Anybody ready for some better days? That doesn't mean days without troubles. It just means that regardless of the trouble that comes, you're going to have better days. That's what we're looking forward to. Now, today I want to continue this series with a message that's simply entitled, you ready? Better Thoughts. Come on, if we have some better thoughts, we're going to have some better days. So let's go back to the passage in Matthew, and these are the words of Jesus. In Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Anybody had enough of trouble? Well, Jesus here is teaching us, first of all, a big truth. Let's pull the big truth out of this passage. And the big truth out of this passage is this. We live life one day at a time. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, if you want to have a good life, if you want to have a better life, come on, just deal with today. I mean, you know, sometimes tomorrow it's better because we're going to start that diet tomorrow. We're going to give tomorrow. We're going to do things tomorrow. But Jesus says here, really, better begins with today. And then in telling us that better begins with today, then he tells us what we need to do today to make it better. We went over these last week. The first thing Jesus says, refuse to worry today. He even acknowledges that every day brings some trouble. As long as we're in this world, there are going to be things that we could be troubled about. But he says, refuse. Now that's something you do. You refuse to worry. We were talking to one of our little kids last week after service, and one of the graduate families, their little girl is 3 years old, and they were talking about her favorite food or something, and somebody mentioned vegetables, and her response was nasty. How many of you know? She would probably refuse some vegetables. Jesus said, refuse to worry. And then he told us not only to refuse to worry, but then he says, choose faith over worry. And then the last thing we looked at last week is Jesus said, rejoice. And that's the activation of our faith. When we rejoice in the day that the Lord has made, come on, then that is the activation of our faith. It makes today better. But I want to focus today on what Jesus also taught us in this passage, and certainly has to do with worry, because worry is about our thoughts. But Jesus also deals with our thoughts. And so we're going to have to look at our thoughts if we're going to have better days. But particularly this morning, I want to teach you what better thoughts Jesus wants you to take. Look at Matthew 6:32 again from the passage, but let's just pull out that one verse. Matthew 6:32 says this, "These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." Let me just make this statement. Better thoughts make for better days. Come on. If you want to have better days, then have better thoughts. And there are better thoughts for you to have than for you to be worried about what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? In other words, really, what is Jesus saying there? He's saying that people are worried about their self, about taking care of self, about daily provisions. And Jesus says this, he says that when you worry about those things, you're really acting like an unbeliever. Someone who doesn't believe. And so we could even say, if we believe, then there's no need to have those kinds of thoughts. So let's look at these better thoughts. Now, if you remember last week, we made sure that you understood the difference between a concern and a worry. Listen, there are legitimate concerns that we have had in this season. There are going to be other legitimate things in your life, with your family, that you need to be concerned about. That's concerning to me. You've heard that statement. Well, listen, I wonder about some people if they're not concerned. You can't see, because concern will prompt us to action. But we said that concern, legitimate concerns, turn into worry, or we know they have turned into worry when certain thoughts about certain things begin to control us. If any thought, come on, you know what I mean. That means that when you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing you think about. When you drive into work, all of a sudden you wonder, how did you even get to this light? You didn't even pay attention. How did I get here? Because what's been on your mind, weighing on your mind? That is a picture of being worried, that you are weighted down in your mind, that your mind can't get off that thing, that problem, that family thing, that financial thing. Really, Jesus said that these kinds of things dominate the minds or the thoughts of unbelievers, but unfortunately, too often they also dominate our minds. Let me just give you the definition of the word dominate. The word dominate literally means to exercise control over. And I love this definition. Listen to this. To become the most important thing. Maybe we just need to take a little assessment right now of our thoughts and just consider, what's become the most important thing? You see, if you want to know, don't fool yourself. Be honest with yourself. That's where healing and freedom begins. You have to be honest with yourself. You may say God's the most important thing. You may say your marriage is the most important thing, but what's on your mind? That's first place. Come on, what's on your mind? When any thought dominates our thinking, we are worried. And we learned this last week, and it's worth saying again. Worry is a waste. Worry makes nothing better. We could say it this way. Nothing gets better while we're worrying. That's why Jesus said, refuse it. And really, when you're refusing to worry, you're refusing to let the devil steal the best that God has for you. Now, how about thoughts? We could say this too. If a thought is controlling our mind, then it won't get any better until we control our thoughts. Come on, what thought right now may have control? How many of you know whoever has control of the remote in the house determines what you watch? That's why we have different TVs. And how many of you know we are really all in control of our own mind? We're in control of what we think. We've got the remote control. We can change what we're thinking about. Now, we're going to need the help of God. We're going to need the help of the Word of God. But we can have better thoughts so then we can experience better days. Now, let me read from the Amplified Translation. I want to read Matthew 6:31 because I want us to kind of zone in on these thoughts that Jesus says here, that these kinds of thoughts want to dominate. Control. Matthew 6:31 Amplified. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear? Thoughts about our well-being want to take control. And you know, you think about that. That's kind of natural. In fact, you would probably be abnormal if those thoughts at times didn't want to try to control you. Come on, are you with me this morning? All of us. I don't care how far along we are on our faith journey, how much we've trusted God in the past daily. In fact, Paul. I mean, talk about a man of faith, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3. I'm kind of yelling at y'all. I don't know why. Let me calm down. Sorry about that. But I just wish I could, you know, the Holy Spirit will help me that you could get this because you're going to have better days. But Paul, the apostle, he said, daily, the weight, the cares of the church come on me. And he had to do something with that. Daily, there's going to be something try to come on you to dominate your thinking. But you can still have your best day ever, SpongeBob, if you'll have better thoughts. And Jesus is teaching us. His words are timeless. And the thing that wants to dominate us so often, the thing that wants to cloud our thoughts, is self-care. And you see, when we begin to worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? There's all these different thoughts then. It's not just one thought. Then we think about financially and relationships. And how many of you know the devil loves the pile-on technique? Amen. Have you ever, you know, watching football? One guy just doesn't tackle that guy. How many of you know if there are other football players around? I mean, even if he's on the ground, what do? Pile on. I thought, the guy can't get back up and start running the ball again. Why are y'all piling on? They just pile on. Well, you see, when we allow those things to dominate us, it's not just one thought, it's many thoughts. In fact, can you put up my little cloud there? Come on. That's what our mind looks like It's not just one thought when we're considering self-care. It's all the, then we have opened up ourself, and then we become worried about not just one thing, but many things. Do you remember Martha and Mary when Jesus was in their house and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him, and Martha was in the kitchen cooking? Nothing wrong with cooking in the kitchen. But she was cooking in the kitchen instead of listening to Jesus. Some of you have been cooking in the kitchen. Some of us have been cooking in the kitchen. And here Jesus was talking to us. And then you know what Martha did? She came and said, "Lord, why don't you get Mary to come help me?" She's worried about self. "Look at all that I'm doing. Look at all that I need to be done. This is hard. I need help." She had her on her mind when Jesus was right there. And what did Jesus say to Martha? He said, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about," come on, "many things." It's amazing. When we open up our minds, our thoughts, to be worried about self-care, then many things come in. And all of a sudden, we can't solve anything because we've got so many things in our thoughts. We're distracted. We don't know which way to go. And we just kind of go around and around looking at all the thoughts. And we're weighted down. Living like that is a weight. It makes every day heavier than it should be. I love what Jesus teaches us in the Bible. He says you ought to be living life lightly and freely. Wow. Can I remind you of this? He's the only one that can lift those burdens. There's not a spouse. There's not any job you could get. There's not more money. We need better thoughts for better days. Let me just speak to the present for just a moment. This pandemic, COVID-19, this virus, has given us, or maybe I should say provided, ripe ground, fertile ground for us to have these kinds of thoughts of self-care to dominate our thinking. And if you didn't push back in this season, and if you don't push back now, this virus and all the effects with in people's life and people's physical well-being and our nation's well-being and the economy and businesses, if you don't push, come on, if you don't push back, there's so many things that could dominate and control our thinking. You see, I could be thinking right now about, will people ever come back to church? Will we ever have what we had before? I could be thinking about that right now because the ground is ripe. There's fertile ground. There's every reason naturally. And then you've got the media telling you that you need to be worried. Can I tell you this? The one thing that the media always, and I mentioned this last week, but the media always excludes the God factor. And I've said this and I'll say it again. We need to be informed. We must not become overwhelmed. We cannot let this be the dominant thing on our mind. Now, does that mean that we act like it's not there? That's stupid. Come on. We can use wisdom. We can be cautious. But Jesus told us, even in a pandemic, we don't have to worry about our needs being met, even after the pandemic. Those things may try to dominate our mind, but Jesus said, don't let them control you. Don't let them control your decisions. Yes, do you need to consider? But there's a difference in considering and being controlled. And we need to ask God to help us that we don't allow anything to control us. And I'm going to admit to you, there's times over the past couple of weeks and months that I felt a little maybe guilty or condemned because I wasn't worried. And I had a lot of things to do. I had a lot of things to consider for church, for my family. We had some loss of income during this. Jeff and I did. And when you see, you know, minus, minus, minus on rental property that you had, income you respect, gone, gone, gone. I could be thinking about that all day. You know what? I never really tallied up the total of all we lost. Because then you know what would have been on my mind? All we lost. Now, I was wise. I knew what we had. I kept looking at what we had. I kept looking at what needed to be done and made sure that we used what we had well. Now, listen. We need to make sure that we are wise, that we're cautious, we're not foolish, that we don't take foolish risk. How many of you know every time you step out of your house, you're taking a risk? But we're not foolish. So you don't be foolish. Know where you are in the midst of all of this and make your decisions for you and for your family. And then don't mind what anybody else says about it. Whether they think that's the right decision or you or not the right decision. You know what? You go with what God tells you, and God will also cause you to be mindful of others. Amen. We need to be mindful of others. Amen. And you know what? We've had some really good reports. And first time in a long time that I've been proud of the media. They actually reported that for Georgia and Florida, even after the reopening, that it's gone so well and the numbers are declining. And they had to report that because it was so good. But you know what? That was just a little bit of the whole reporting. We need good news. Now, we need to be informed if something's going wrong, but don't be overwhelmed. Now, let's talk for a minute about who's in control. I'm talking about, you know, these things controlling or dominating our thoughts. We need to look at who's in control, because if the right one's not in control, these kinds of things will control our thoughts. Let's go back to Matthew. In fact, let me just say this before I read this. I'm going to go to Matthew 6:24. Now, we were just reading Matthew 30, 31, chapter 6. This is Jesus' same sermon. Jesus is teaching the same sermon, but I'm going to go up to the beginning of his sermon, what he started with before he said, refuse to worry and don't take no thought. Let's go back to Matthew 6:24. This is really the beginning of his sermon. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Or that word money there is mammon. Now, I got to talk about mammon, money, for just a minute. And Jesus, first of all, I think it's important that we note this. Jesus is the only one recorded in the Gospels, in the Bible, that ever used the word mammon. But Jesus used the word mammon. And here he contrasts the spirit of God and the spirit of mammon. And let me say this. When we talk about mammon, and it's important that Jesus used that word mammon. It's translated money. And in fact, let me just go ahead and define for you. The word mammon is an Aramaic word that means riches or wealth, but it also means what is trusted in. What is trusted in. And I'm just going to go ahead and jump to one of my points here. How do you know you're trusting in mammon instead of in God? It's always on your mind. And it wants to gain control. So listen, I know it's going to try to gain control of you, tries to gain control of me. And now listen, because the spirit of mammon is not about, it's not just about money. It's about the spirit that attaches itself to the money. And that spirit of mammon, it's like a worldly spirit, the spirit of the world. It tells us that money will meet our need. Well, so of course, you want money because it's going to meet your need. And every day you have needs. In fact, that's what the unbeliever was worried about, is they were worried that they wouldn't have their needs met. Now the spirit of mammon tells me, I'll meet your need. So therefore you think that you're not going to have to worry because it will meet your need. And the truth is, I've seen people with a lot of money and a lot of worries. I've seen people with what the world may consider a little money, and come on, no worries. I've seen people with a lot of money and no worries. I've seen people in the middle and no worries. Listen, it's not about the money. It's about who's in control. Now listen, every one of us decides who's in control. And is this easy? No. But boy, is it rewarding. Boy. And Jesus is teaching us here how to let God be in control of our well-being, instead of this spirit of mammon. And when God is in control, oh, you talk about living life with a joy that's unspeakable in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a turnaround in the economy. We still are okay. We are still not worrying. We're not weighted down with all of those thoughts. Wow. Listen, here's the thing about mammon. It wants your trust, then it takes control. Then you'll find yourself making decisions, even bad decisions, based on money. You'll find yourself buying things because you think you need that to be happy. You think your kids need that to be happy. Money's in control. Again, it isn't the money. It's the spirit of mammon behind the money. This word master, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. This word master simply defined as supreme authority. You ready? Controller. Controller. Jesus really is the supreme authority. Our enemy takes that and he uses it to control. Jesus takes it to use his authority over us, for us. Come on. I mean, no, Jesus is preeminent. He has all authority. Therefore, when we're under him, he can use his authority on our behalf. Again, better days are all about the one you serve. And can I just remind you? Put it in your mind again. Can I remind you who you serve? You're not an unbeliever, so those things don't have to dominate your thoughts. Don't relinquish control to mammon, and it begins with your thoughts. Come on, I'm going to tell you something, as if you don't know. He's going to try to take control this week. He's going to try to get in there some way, but now you know, don't relinquish control by relinquishing your thoughts to him. We need better thoughts. I mean, I've only got 5 minutes, but I need to give you the better thoughts. Here we go. Here's what you need to consider. Now, I'm going to say something, but let me break it down. You need to consider God. You need to consider what the media doesn't consider. They don't consider God. Listen to Matthew 6:25. Jesus goes on here. After he talks about mammon, he says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God, you ready? And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly, do you hear? He will certainly, come on, he will certainly care for you. And then Jesus asks us this question, why do you have so little faith? I have to ask myself that. Why do I have so little faith in a God that cares so much for me? Maybe it's because I think little about his care for me. In other words, the amount of thoughts I have, if we were to put them on a scale, the amount of thoughts I have about his care for me, they're little. Just a few thoughts about that. A lot of thoughts about the other things, but just a little thoughts. And then he said, he gives us some illustrations about in considering God and his love and our value to him. Here's what we could think about. He said, think about the birds. I looked this up and there's a big difference in this, and you can imagine why, trying to determine how many birds there are in the world. And so the sites that I went to really went from there are 200 billion to 400 billion birds in the world. And you know what? The Bible says God knows when one of them falls to the ground. Man, having a problem counting them. God knows when they fall. He feeds them. There are no birds today protesting. No birds wondering whether, in fact, can you put up my little bird picture there? Birds. There, the mama just giving the little baby blue jay some food. Then he says, not only consider the birds, and you say, Pastor Jane, this is foolish. No, the devil's telling you, stop. If you are worried about your finances, go out and do a bird watch. Get yourself a birdhouse in your backyard and look how God feeds them and provides for them. Now also he said, look at the flowers in the fields. Can you just put up my field of flowers cared for by God? I mean, have you ever drove by? I drove for many years in ministry, going to different churches in different states, and I drive through these beautiful fields of sunflowers, wild flowers, just growing out there, God caring for them. It says they don't toil. You've never went by a flower field and heard them going, oh no, will we be here tomorrow? Are we going to look pretty? It says God does that. Now listen, I need to wrap this up. Worry is a continuous, nonstop thought. It's kind of like this loop that the enemy wants to play over and over in my mind. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where's the rent coming from? Where's the mortgage coming from? How are you going to get out of this pandemic? Are you going to be okay physically? How about financially? A year from now, where are you going to be? But listen, there's one thing, or there's one thought God wants us thinking, and it's about his care for us. Come on. No big revelation here. Here's how you have better days. Here's how you have better thoughts. And this is the best thought you could have. How valuable you are to God and how much He cares for you, and that as your Heavenly Father, He will meet all your needs. So therefore, now listen, there's no need to worry. Can you put up my cloud? Oh, yeah. I forgot to say this. Thank you. That wasn't the one I was expecting, but I'm trying to rush here, so I got through it. Listen, do you want a boost to your faith? Yeah. Then think about God's care. You see, the way we nourish our faith is by God thoughts, considering God and His value to us. And it's like all of a sudden, you know what? When you start thinking like that, it just boosts your faith and picks you up and carries you to a new place. Now, can you put up my other God cares for you? Here's the one thought. Here's the best thought. God cares. God cares for you. He is mindful of you. He will provide for you. And when we think on God's care for us, then God will take care of everything that pertains to us. Come on. Better thoughts for better days. Did you get some out of that today? I pray that you did.